Okay, I'm putting my chair hat back on and resuming the council meeting. My understanding is there has been some good work going on two of the agenda items that we didn't finish, and we'll just take those in order of when they were on the agenda, which was the jazz working group first. I believe where we need to go to there is the motion itself. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Let's talk about the motion.
Point of order.
Sure, Jeff.
What did we ever do with the amendment?
Well, we had agreed that we would consider the motion, remember?
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, and it is a legitimate point of order. We already discussed that. Okay? So, but let's take a look at the motion, and as needed, we'll come back to the amendment. I know that's out of order, but I think maybe it might be more effective overall to do it that way. So, let's open up a queue on the council. Regarding the motion on the jazz working group, and who would like to be in the queue? Bill, did I see your hand? Oh, I'm sorry. Who are you pointing? I can't. Oh, is it Wolf? Wolf? I can't see hands. Okay, now I'll look back over. There was nobody there when I looked last. Jeff, go ahead. You can start.
Okay, I'm just trying to pull up some of my notes on this. You know, I think a lot of the comments that were raised by the on the funding issue actually apply to a number of other areas in this motion, and it's a very quite extensive motion with a number of objectives to increase the scope of the working group. And I want to first, you know, thank the joint SOAC working group on applicant support, you know, for all their hard work and dedication on, you know, on ensuring that applicants have access to, you know, one of the most important developments in this industry in nearly a decade. And, you know, we do support, speaking on behalf of the registries, you know, we do support the notion that that support needs to be provided to qualifying applicants in the following areas: for cost reduction support, sponsorship and other funding support, modifications to the financial continued instrument obligation, logistical support, technical support for applicants in operating or qualifying to operate a GTLD, and an exception to the rules requiring, basically discussing how vertical integration is affected. So we support those objectives. And, you know, we do believe that ICANN should carefully consider each of the recommendations and solicit opinion from independent experts on these areas with input from the entire internet community. Now, all of that said, we do not believe that the current working group comprised of policy experts in the GNSO and ALAC have the expertise, experience, or knowledge to address the financial, business, and technical objectives raised in the current motion, and therefore do not agree that the charter for this particular group should be extended. We strongly believe that the GNSO should have input to the recommendations, if any, that ultimately get presented to the board, and we reserve our right to comment at that time. So, I want to stress, you know, that there are a number of parts of this motion that we do have trouble with, and I know this motion has been tabled once already, and I know in order to table the motion again to work on this, to meet the objectives, we'd have to have probably a full vote of council. So my first recommendation is, if we could table this motion for another meeting to work on these issues, you know, the registries would appreciate that. But if the request to table this motion gets denied, then at this point the registries are inclined to vote against this motion.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else in the queue? Bill.
I just wanted to make sure I completely understand what Jeff's saying. The suggestion is that you would terminate, the ALAC ALAC is already supporting this anyway. So, but we would express a lack of support for this based solely on the competence of the members of the group. Is that correct? And if that is the issue, wouldn't it make sense to get some of those people that have the skills that are required that you think are missing into the group?
Remember, if I can I address that? So just so you understand, you know, this motion, the crux of this motion is to extend the charter of the existing working group with added objectives. What we're voting against is to extend the charter for this working group. We believe these issues should be looked at, and we believe it's vital that it should be looked at. We just do not believe that this is the appropriate group to do that. And in addition to the funding one, which I understand, you know, the amendment may revise in a way that, you know, is certainly beneficial, you know, there are other items that talk about, and I'm trying to find where it is, but it's the one that deals with the coordinating assistance with back-end registry operators. I think there's one in there. Forgive me for not being able to find it immediately. Which number one is it on here? Am I that bad here? Ah, thank you. Yeah, with D in particular, it talks about establish methods for coordinating the assistance and discussions on the extent of such coordination to be given by back-end registry service providers, brokering new relationships, reviewing the operational quality of the relationship. To us, to the registries, that item is beyond what we believe the expertise of this particular working group. That's just one example, and there are others in here.
Going back to you, Bill.
I don't mean to belabor the point. I just, again, ask if the problem with this initiative that people have spent an enormous amount of time and energy on and coming up with directions in response to the board's request in Nairobi and the expression of concern by many people in the community is simply about the expertise of the particular people, group of people that are involved now, why not have some registry experts get involved in the group? And then we could go forward with this in a way that would tackle the problems that you see.
Back to you, Jeff.
Again, I'm not advocating for registry experts. I don't think I have the qualifications or the expertise, or any other registries necessarily have the expertise that is needed for this. I mean, you know, the point was raised before about tax and other perspectives for the funding. I think there are just as many issues that need to be looked at with respect to all of the other recommendations. And Bill, with all, you know, due respect, you know, this is not a process issue. I want to stress the registries believe in a number of the recommendations in the report and believe that alone, you know, if the council chooses to forward those to the board, may be acceptable. What we're saying is that this particular charter for this particular group should not be extended. That's the extent of it, and I really want to stress the registries do support the need to look at the issue of funding and assisting other applicants. Very strongly, we believe that.
I want to ask a clarifying question here. Is my understanding correct is there an expiration date of this of the charter that was previously approved? There isn't, is there? So if we don't act on this, the charter that's in place doesn't end, right? But it's being extended more in terms of the tasks that it was originally tasked. Was that right? Okay, so I have that correct. So if we don't act on this, and I'm not advocating one way or the other, okay, if we don't extend this, the working group can still continue to function, okay? It just won't have those new objectives. Okay, that's good. Now I have a cue here, let's go with Rafiq, and then I'll slip Avery into the queue with Wolf and Tim as well. Rafiq?
It's Rafiq. Thanks. Just to remind again that the working group is responding to a board resolution about about supporting needy applicants. It was in the last resolution in 2010, and I think it was in 28th October. And then the working group is responding to the request from the board. On the other hand, I want to ask Jeff, I am a little bit confused when he talked about expertise. My understanding that usually GNSO working group are open to everybody. And then when we start talking about expertise again and again, I see that as a way to exclude members and participants from the community to be involved in the working group. We are asking for people to join us in that working group and to have more expertise. They can bring new skills. But if we talk about new working group and talking about expertise, I see that as a way to exclude people from participating, and I am really concerned about that.
Thank you, Rafiq. Aubrey?
Thank you. Aubrey Dory again, speaking as a co-chair of the group under discussion. To follow one of my favorite exemplars at the microphone, I'm going to make 3 points. The first one is I just wanted to remind everyone of the resolved 2010-10-28.21 from the board that said the board encourages the Jazz Working Group and other stakeholders to continue their work on the matter, and in particular provide specific guidelines on the implementation of their recommendations, such as determining the criteria for eligibility for support. So basically, in terms of the Jazz Working Group saying, we've put forward a couple of high-level recommendations, and now we need to basically continue the work. But as opposed to continuing the work just because the board said we should, we basically said, well, we really should come back to our chartering organizations, the ALAC and the GNSO, and say, okay, folks, can you bless this work that the board has asked us to continue doing? So that was the first point, and Jeff put his hand up, so I don't know if he wanted to respond and ask questions while I was going on, or I should move to my second point.
You want to talk about the specific point that Aubrey just mentioned? Okay.
Yeah, I guess my question then to Aubrey is, you just mentioned, and I would love to scroll it back, but it's way back. Can you just read that resolution by the board?
Yeah, and that was just one of the 3 parts of the resolution.
Well, I mean, just that last part that you read about looking at the eligibility, right?
Right.
Okay, so that if we had gotten a motion that said that this group wants to look further at the eligibility, we would be having a very different conversation.
That was...
What I have in front of me, just if I can finish, what I have in front of me is 9 different items, maybe one of which touches on eligibility, and that's what we're being asked to look at. So I take your point, and have
you
gotten a motion that said that?
I don't think you actually took my whole point, because my whole point says that they ask us to look at our recommendations and how we go further, such as, which is the same as the inter alia word, such as, including but not limited to. The one you're pointing as the only one was listed as an example, and it's certainly one that they care about greatly. But they asked us to look at furthering the recommendations in our report. So I don't think that your point goes to just that one. I think what the board's resolution indicates, and as I said, the language says so, is that they want us to take our recommendations and do further work on them, getting to greater specificity. So that's what...
No, I take your point, and you've come up with 9 other items, and you're not implying that the council should just accept all those 9 items because there's an including but not limited clause, right? I mean, the registries discussed this, and the registries were not comfortable with a number of those items to be looked at by this working group.
I understand that, and I understand that this is all rather probably empty rhetoric at the moment because the decisions have already been made. However, just to get on the record, the conversation is the board did look at it and said, do more work on your recommendations. Go down a level. Basically, give us greater specificity on your recommendations. And so, therefore, what we did is we've got a charter that basically goes through our recommendations, and at each one along the way says, where is the further work required. Certainly, we would like comments from the registries on issues. We were hoping that you would approve the charter because it makes sense in terms of both the recommendations that we've got and the board's asking us to go further. But that was my first point, yes, is that this is in keeping with the board request in that resolved.
Go ahead and finish your points,
okay, Aubrey. The second point has to do with expertise. In all working groups, once there are chartered items, you are to go out and find the expertise to do the work. First of all, I think you perhaps underrate our group a little in saying it has none of the expertise that you believe is necessary. There is a lot of expertise in that group. That's what sometimes made it so difficult and why we had to have so many long meetings, because there were many experts that had a lot to say that was worth listening to. But of course, like any working group, once you've got a chartered item, you go out and you find the expertise, you bring it in. If at the end of the day we have incompetent recommendations because we didn't get the proper expertise, then you'll, at the end of the day, say, this is rubbish. You didn't have the experts. But to say up front that we don't have the experts is basically to say any working group that comes along that doesn't have, well, in fact, on most working groups, you don't have any working group yet. You're basically setting up a working group, say, go out and find the people you need to do it. So that was my second point, is we would find the expertise we needed that we don't already have. The third point is, if there is any chance of changing any of the minds of any of the stakeholders and houses who have already determined not to vote against this, to vote for this, whatever, however, basically to basically convince people to work, to vote for, we certainly have no objection to you taking longer to talk about it. Now, I don't know how you do that by your procedures, you know, but I would hate to see the council vote against this. As I say, the ALAC has already put these things on. So we'll have a very interesting moment after this if the council does reject it, because in some sense we will be chartered to continue the work in respect to giving advice. But we won't be chartered to continue the work in respect to the GNSO considering making it a recommendation. So that'll be a fascinating bit of process for us to go through if that happens. But if more time would possibly provide an opportunity to convince people that this is really something that we should be allowed to continue working on, I'd be very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. I have several people in queue. I have Wolf and Tim and Andre and Edmund. And I have, and I think that's it for right now. Now, be as brief as possible. We're not going to be able to spend too much more time on this. We're so far over on our agenda, and there's quite a few items that we have to cover in this meeting today. So be as brief as you can. Wolf.
Thank you. Yes, my point is also with regards to the expertise question. So I would like to understand that. For me, the key question is, are those items which are to be chartered are so necessary to be done? So is there a need to do those at all? So if you could come to a conclusion, yes, there is a need to do that, then the other question is how we shall do this, how we shall organize it. Could we organize it in that within that group or within under a different roof? So these are steps to be done, and it's not clear for me whether from your argumentation, Jeff, you see those items are really necessary to be done or not. Then we can, if that is clarified, then we can discuss the other points. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Tim?
Yeah, I think first I just wanted to say that if the registrars had likely written a statement of our own, it would probably have read almost verbatim what Jeff read as the statement of the registry. So we definitely agree with that. We have many of the same concerns. And I think that part of it is that what has been laid out here is just so extensive. It goes way beyond what I think many of us had envisioned in the beginning when we talked about, well, let's find some applicant support. And I guess we kind of thought of it as, let's find some willing parties that have resources that they're willing to offer to parties who need those resources. But we're talking about things way beyond that at this point, and we're not confident at all that this is the right process to handle that. In fact, in my mind, my personal feeling is that some of these things kind of touch on policy that perhaps should even come back to the GNSO Council as policy issues, potentially. But I think that definitely in order to be able to support extending this charter, and again, as has been pointed out, we're not, this motion doesn't mean that the group ends or that the charter no longer exists, but I think in order to vote in favor of this charter, it would have to be changed extensively.
Thank you, Tim. Andre.
Yeah, thank you. I think we have some kind of telepathy with Avery. Well, first of all, I think that this group should not be really put into the limits. I try to explain why. There's a 9 points, of discovery they want to go after, and I think it can be 29. It's actually not very principal question because once the group faced with a problem, where they will call the expertise which is around. I don't see any problem with that. Any kind of over regulation. We're trying to assign frames to the group. We just studied its work, and I believe it's wrong. I mean, they should go out. They should do research and bring more information, more data, and it will add the value. If we now over regulate it, we'll just kill it and slow it down. That's it.
Thanks, Andre. Edmund.
Yeah. Following from Chuck, your earlier question, and as I guess as expressed, I wanted to ask Avery, actually. I know you're a bit far. A couple of questions. One is, Avery, you mentioned that if we go on and sort of vote down this motion, that the JAS will no longer sort of report back to or in the remit of the GNSO. I wasn't sure whether you were alluding to that. That's one. The other one is I was just looking back at the original charter, and I really don't see anything that you can't do with that, with the extension. I just want to understand what that is, those two.
No, certainly the working group is still open, with your permission. Yeah, sorry, I just started speaking. I forgot who I was. certainly the group is still chartered by the GNSO and the ALAC and is responsible to both of them. What I was saying is basically if we had chartered items by one that were not chartered items by the other, it brings us into a sort of confusing space. Now, accepting what you say that indeed on most of these items, one could interpret our previous mandate as allowing us to delve more deeply. It was just the degree of specificity. We had always been fairly careful in sort of saying, we were at a very high policy level in doing this and that we didn't want to delve down deeper because so therefore that's why we got explicit in asking for the charter extension. If we find ourselves working with a set of extensions that have been proved by the ALAC, but which by interpretation could be understood as having been covered by the previous GNSO motion, that will also be interesting and entertaining and certainly worth looking at and worth doing. So I thank you for that.
Thank you, Avery. And I have Jamie and then Debbie, and then I'm going to cut the queue off right there on this one, and I'll explain what's next after that. Okay? Oh, sorry. Oh, I thought that you were I think you were talking when I saw your name there, and I thought that was the old one. Okay, gotcha. Oh, and I've got Christina, too. Okay, but I am going to cut the queue off there, and then I'll make a suggestion for next steps. So, Jamie.
Well, in the best intention of reaching some agreement and to save this work, I would consult if, since I see that the registries and registrars have some concerns with other issues behind the paragraph C of the, I would consult if an amendment to Rolf's amendment, removing both C, D, E, and I paragraphs, would be acceptable to both registrars and registrars. And I do know that Rafiq wouldn't find this as a friendly amendment, but
I appreciate the constructiveness, Jamie, but we are not going to have time to consider that in this meeting.
Okay.
I apologize, but we're so far over, and again, there are essential items. So I have Jamie, Debbie, Jeff, and Christina, and then I'll make a suggestion for next steps. Okay? Debbie's next. Okay.
Thanks, Chuck. I probably will just defer because I saw the registrars look like they were raising their hands, and my question really was, I guess this also goes to the registries, are there any things that can be carved out or removed that would make this palatable, or are we at a full stop? I guess I'm trying to understand the perspective of both the registrars and Jeff and the registries.
Again, we're not going to have time for a continue. This is going indefinitely. And I think we're going to make, I think there is some hope there, my own perception, but that's my perception.
I can be really quick with the response.
Okay, Tim, go ahead.
And that is that if we vote today, we would vote it down.
Okay. Jeff.
Yeah, and I think that said, though, I do appreciate the amendments that were offered by Jamie, and I do think that's why I would ask it to be tabled for one meeting so that we can get to something that would be acceptable, and I think you're definitely leaning in the right way. And the main part of the statement I wanted to make is, again, I think this goes back to something Tim said. You know, this motion was made so last minute as just we were leaving, and it's so dense and it's so full of things that, you know, you can't cover all of this during your stakeholder day. So it's something that, you know, we just need to write motions a little bit better and need to figure out how to make it much easier for people to discuss during stakeholder day. And the other issue I just want to note quickly for the record is the whole notion of the board asking this group directly to produce recommendations goes to the same arguments we just made in the previous discussion about how we set up a cross working group to report to the council as opposed to reporting to the board. And I would hope that some message is sent to the board to actually not do that in the future, that they should probably go back to the GNSO and then figure out the best way of getting the input that they need.
Thank you, Jeff. Christina.
If you are going to suggest that we table this, I would support that, which is what I was planning to.
I don't think we have any choice. I don't think people are saying here they want to reject this effort and shut it down, but I do hear there's a need for a little more time. So one of the things I'd like to ask is those of you who would be willing to work on the issues that you have with with some of the it doesn't just have to be counselors, it can be some of people, can be Aubrey from the as chair of the group and whatever, but would you identify yourself if you're willing to help work on this motion and deal with the issues that you have and see Jeff? Okay, let's get these on the record. Jeff, Wolf, Tim, anybody else? Okay, and Aubrey, are you willing to work with that? Thank you. All right, and again, this doesn't exclude others that might want to do that. It's probably better to keep it a little bit small, but make sure we have the people on there that have the issues so that they can be worked. And then keep in mind you've got the 8-day advance requirement, and so our next meeting is on the 6th. Is that right, Glenn?
Yes.
6th of January. So keep that in mind. I appreciate you volunteering. And we're going to move now to the Rec 6 Community Working Group. And where are we at on that? Mary?
Chuck, I hope I'm not speaking too optimistically when I say that I believe this will be short and sweet.
That'd be great.
I'm feeling incredibly friendly today, so I would like to offer yet another friendly amendment to myself.
Very good.
Which I hope all the council will go along with me on. May I read the amended motion in full?
Please do.
whereas on 8 September 2010, the GNSO Council endorsed GNSO participation in a joint working group with other interested supporting organizations and advisory committees to provide guidance to ICANN's new GTLD implementation team and the ICANN board in relation to the implementation of the Council's Recommendation 6 regarding strings that contravene generally accepted legal norms relating to morality and public order that are recognized under international principles of law. Whereas the Recommendation 6 Cross-Community Working Group, or CWG, was established in accordance with the terms of reference also approved by the GNSO Council on 8 September 2010. And whereas the CWG has since delivered a set of recommendations regarding implementation of the GNSO Council's Recommendation 6 for new GTLDs to the community. Resolved, the Council thanks the CWG and its participants from the GNSO and other SOs and ACs for their hard work and acknowledges that the CWG recommendations do not constitute consensus policy or GNSO policy development otherwise within the purview of the GNSO. Resolved further, the Council recommends that each stakeholder group and constituency provide feedback as soon as possible to the Council on the CWG's recommendations.
Bill, do you second that friendly amendment?
It seems kind of unfriendly to me. I'm not sure. It's
fine. Thanks. Okay, discussion. Christina.
So up is on. In light of the friendly amendment, the IPC can now support this motion.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Jeff? Okay, good. No other discussion? All right. Does anyone object to a voice vote on this motion as amended? Jeff, you do?
I think we should get it on the record. I think we
should.
Okay.
You guys just aren't cooperating with me on time today. Okay. It will be a roll call vote.
Excuse me, Chuck.
Yes.
It's Liz. If I could just make a quick comment from the remote participation.
Yes, you may.
Before,
absolutely.
And I apologize for interrupting. There is a comment from Ken that asks that this be made public before you all take a vote. And that is his concern that many constituencies will not have a chance to deliberate prior to the January 6th council meeting. Thanks.
What's that? Oh, that's on the previous motion. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a process that's moving very quickly. I don't know what I can say. We're trying, while doing all these other things, we're trying to avoid further delays. So thanks for the comment. All right, roll call vote. Glenn?
Jeff Newman?
In favor.
Edmund Chun?
In favor.
William Drake?
In favor.
Christine Rosette?
In favor.
John Behar?
In favor.
Stefan van Gelder?
Yeah.
Debbie Hughes?
In favor.
Rafik Demet? Rafik?
In favor.
Thank you. Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes.
Adrian Kinderis?
Si.
Gracias.
Mark Rodenbach?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes, please.
Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
David Taylor?
Yes.
Rajmi Sinclair?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Sí, claro.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
I guess I better pull yes.
And Terry Davis, please.
Yes, also.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes, of course.
I think I've called everybody's names, have I? Have I left off anybody? It passes unanimously, Chuck.
Thank you very much, and nice work. You're doing a good job with friendly amendments to your own motion, Mary. My compliments. All right, moving on. I've tried to do this several times unsuccessfully. Hopefully this time it will work. To item 5, the IDN Joint IDN Working Group, the JIG, as we abbreviate it. And Edmund, I don't want to cut you unfairly short, but if you can be as brief as possible, it would be appreciated, since there's no particular action item here. But we do need to know where that's at. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I was planning on trying to catch up some time for you. I already sent an update to the council list, so you can refer to that as well. But I'll highlight a few things. So the JIG, after a lot of discussion about this cross community working group, this is, I guess, one of the first as well. It's a joint group with the between CCNSO and the GNSO on IDNs. The JIG identified three issues of common interest between the CCNSO and the GNSO. There are the single character IDN TLDs. Number 2 is IDN TLD variant, and number 3 was universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So in terms of the first item, single character IDN TLD, an initial report was completed and published in July this year, and public comments received, considered, and a draft final report was published and for public comments, and it's now open for public comments and closing December 30th this year, December 30th, 2010. So I encourage everyone to take a look at it and provide us feedback. As a very quick summary of that, the recommendation is to stay with the GNSO policy recommendation to allow single character IDN TLDs with some specific implementation recommendations as well. This to assist staff in terms of implementation. Included was also in the final report was also some editorial suggestions to the applicant guidebook as well. So this hopefully can assist staff in the implementation. In terms of next steps, hopefully creating some good precedents. The next step is actually after receiving the comments, the JIG will finalize the report, and the report will go back to the respective councils for consideration. So it will come back to the GNSO Council, and the GNSO Council hopefully, consider it, and hopefully at that time would agree with it and pass it to the board. But in terms of process, it will come back to this council for consideration of next actions. In terms of the second item, which is the IDN TLD variant, work began earlier in the year, but it was suspended because the board made a resolution in October for staff to create a work plan. The work plan we haven't seen yet, so the work was suspended. This Thursday, actually tomorrow morning, we'll have a working group session here in Cartagena. We are hoping that Tina would give us some update on that so we can restart the discussion on that. That's the end of the update.
Thank you. Any quick questions? Bill.
I'm just curious, since we've had so much discussion lately about community working groups and the mechanics and modalities of how they report to and so on and their competence, could we learn any lessons from this group, which apparently nobody has any problems with? Is there anything in particular that the other community working groups should know from this experience that we could perhaps apply elsewhere, since people have been raising all these concerns?
Good question.
I guess I don't know how to offer the learning, but I think one important issue. Well, personally, this is just personal opinion. I think when it was chartered, it actually specifically had the process such that a final report is produced and its feedback to the respective councils, the CCNSO Council and the GNSO Council, and that was a very clear path. And the councils can deliberate and decide what to do with that final report. And on that particular issue, item, each council may take different actions, and that's perfectly fine as well. So I think that might be one of the things that to take into consideration as well.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no other hands raised, what I'm going to suggest, and you can overrule me if you like, and I won't be overly sensitive about that, but is that we skip ahead to agenda items 8, 11, and 12, and 13, which I think are pretty straightforward, but really do need to be done in this meeting. Christina?
I would actually ask if we could try and do the RAA friendly okay. amendment, only because I think what I tried very hard to do okay. was to carve this up in a way that the parts to which I had been led to believe there was no objection, we might be able to get through okay. this relatively quickly. I'm happy okay. to give us like a 10-minute timeline if we
okay,
can't
no,
do it.
I'm willing to try.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So now, and then skip ahead to those others and then come back in order like that. Any objections to that approach? So we'll go ahead and go to item 6, and then skip to 8, so on. Okay? All right. Going on then to item 6, proposed changes to enhance ICANN's registrar accreditation evaluation process. There was a session on that earlier in the day that many of you were involved in. I caught the last half of it, I think, myself. We have an overview by Margie. And while she's – oh, yes, Christina?
I was actually just going to suggest that in the interest of time, given the fact that we covered this overview during our weekend working sessions and given the fact that we can put the PowerPoint up in Adobe while we're discussing the motion, that perhaps – we could, in this instance, make an exception and skip the overview.
Is there any objection to that? Thanks, Margie. You did a wonderful job. I appreciate the brevity and the smile. Okay. All right, so we'll go to the motion. Christina, would you, and this is a revised motion, right, that's happened today?
Yes, it's a friendly amendment to the motion that I had introduced at the end of November, and I'll go through and read it, but the purpose of it is to essentially divide that initial motion into two discrete parts to deal with the actually two very distinct action items that came out of this final report and to defer action on one part of that simply because it's been made clear that there'll be time for further work. So with that introduction,
by the way, you're following Mary's example, a friendly amendment to your motion? Is that
no,
right?
She made it.
Oh, she made it. Okay. Boy, she's on a roll. Go
and
ahead.
I've accepted it. Whereas a motion to approve the recommendations in the final report on proposals for improvement to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement has been submitted and seconded, whereas that motion called for the GNSO Council to accept the final report to approve the form of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter as described in Annex D of the final report, to recommend that staff commence the consultation process with registrars to finalize the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter for posting on the websites of registrars as specified in Section 3.15 of the RAA, and to recommend that staff adopt the process specified as Process A in the final report to develop a new form of RAA with respect to the high and medium priority topics described in the final report. Whereas some GNSO counselors have expressed the view that further work is necessary on the portion of that motion relating to the process specified as Process A in the final report to develop a new form of RAA, whereas the GNSO Council does not wish for such work to delay progress on the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter referenced above. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the motion to approve the recommendations in the final report on proposals for improvements to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement be amended as set out below. Number one, whereas on 4 March 2009, the GNSO Council approved the form of the 2009 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, RAA, developed as a result of a consultative process initiated by ICANN, whereas in addition to approving the 2009 RAA, on 4 March 2009, the GNSO Council convened a joint drafting team with members of the at-large community to conduct further work related to improvements to the RAA, specifically to draft a charter identifying registrant rights and responsibilities, whereas on 18 October 2010, the joint GNSO ALAC RAA drafting team published its final report describing specific recommendations and proposals for improvements to the RAA. Whereas the GNSO Council has reviewed the final report and desires to approve some of the recommendations and proposals contained therein. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council appreciates the effort of the joint GNSO ALAC RAA drafting team in developing the recommendations and proposals delineated in the final report for improvements to the RAA. Resolve further that the GNSO Council hereby accepts the final report and approves of the form of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter as described in Annex D of the final report. Resolve further that the GNSO Council recommends that staff commence the consultation process with registrars in the RAA to finalize the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter for posting on the websites of registrars as specified in Section 3.15 of the RAA. Number two. Whereas on 4 March 2009, the GNSO Council approved the form of the 2009 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, developed as a result of the lengthy consultative process initiated by ICANN. Whereas in addition to approving the RAA, on 4 March 2009, the GNSO Council convened a joint drafting team with members of the at-large community to conduct further work related to improvements to the RAA, specifically to develop a specific process to identify additional potential amendments to the RAA on which further action may be desirable. Whereas, and it's the same whereas clause as before, on 18 October 2010, the joint GNSO ALEC RAA drafting team published its final report describing specific recommendations and proposals to the GNSO Council for improvements to the RAA. Now, therefore, be it resolved that further action on the priority topics described and the process specified as Process A in the final report to develop a new form of RAA be deferred until the GNSO Council's next regularly scheduled telephone meeting.
Thank you. It is, and let's see, who was the second on that one? Let me look at my notes here. Okay, are you okay with that?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, now it's open for discussion. Jeff.
And I'm the lawyer here, but what are we doing here?
What we're doing, we're taking the initial motion, which you, and this is in response to your criticism that it had too much in it. So I'm amending it to divide it in half. We today are going to vote on the half that relates to the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter. And to essentially, all it doesn't change the substance of the motion. It just says we're approving this portion now. And that's the approves the form of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter. It also then defers further action on anything relating to the priority topics and the Process A until our next meeting.
And all this works from a motion perspective. This is good. This is clean.
I don't see any problem with it.
It's a lot of words. And I'm the lawyer, I know, right? All right. That's my question.
We have several hands up. Stefan and then Tim.
I'm not a lawyer, and I'm completely lost. Is there any way we can get that text up somewhere on Adobe or something? We can see it because
it's in the wiki.
What, Christina's new text?
Yes.
Okay. You see how lost I am?
Well, Christina, let me request you do this. Would you just focus on the resolves in this motion? And you're welcome to paraphrase
sure.
them. You don't have to read them verbatim.
It's a double resolve. It's a
yes,
resolve
it
to divide it into two motions. And then there's a bunch of new whereas clauses with new resolves. And I think I'm okay with the substance. I'm just trying to make sure.
Basically, what I was trying to do was to track as closely as possible the content of the original motion and to do it in a way that standing alone in the future, people would understand what was trying to be done. I clearly did not do that very well, but, you know, in any event, what we're resolving to do today is to accept the final report, approve the form of the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Charter that's described in Annex D of that report, and to recommend that staff start the consultative process with registrars that's set out in the RAA in order to finalize that Registrant Rights Charter. Full stop. We are also resolving to defer further action on the priority topics identified for potential future amendment and the process for that potential further amendment, which is named Process A in the final report. We're going to defer any action on that until our next meeting. That's what it does.
Thank you. Now, Tim, you were on the queue.
You know, we really don't want to be the wet blanket on this, but I think from our perspective that we don't feel we can vote on this today. And if we're going to defer, the meatiest part, of course, is the RAA amendments part. Not that the Registrant Rights Charter is not important, and we actually support that. So I want to make that clear. If we do vote today, however we vote, I want to make sure that that's clear. But that we feel it would be best if we could table this for one more meeting to give us a chance to kind of fathom this a little bit further and make sure that our stakeholder groups in line with it.
Any further discussion? Now, Tim, was that a request to defer this motion to the next meeting? Okay, and we have a practice of honoring that first time around on a motion, so this will be deferred to the next meeting.
Sure. I just want to clarify then for the purposes of the registrar stakeholder group that you should anticipate seeing a new motion that essentially restores the original one and sets out further delineation of some of the process issues that were identified as concerns by the
then, NCSC. Then, Christina, let's just vote on the original motion today. We'd be up for that. We'll vote for the original motion today. Or we delay this one till next time?
The goal here is to move forward with the Registrant Rights Charter, which is what I had been led to believe there was no objection to. There were no questions or concerns articulated during our working sessions.
There isn't, but we just read this, like, two-page motion. I mean, I'm just reading it right now. We haven't covered this at all with any of our stakeholder groups. I'm just nervous here because we had a very clear mandate about this particular motion, and we're just nervous about making on-the-fly decision on this one.
Okay, so that will be deferred to the next meeting at the request of the registrars. Mr. Foody, we're going to have to plug ahead because of time constraints. We're hoping still to have a open mic at the end, but we're so far behind schedule that I'm going to have to limit the audience participation until we see where we're at on the time. Please feel free to get back up at another point. What I'd like to ask now is for Olga to take over the chair seat while the chair takes another needed break. And we're going to jump to item 8, which is the joint DSSA, the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group Charter. Olga, would you take that, please?
Thank you, Chuck. Stefan, is that okay for you? Taking the chair role? Yeah. Is that okay that I take the chair role?
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't even listening, so it's clearly okay.
Thank you so much. So point 8 of our agenda is Joint DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group Charter. There is a charter there's a link to the charter, which is a PDF document, and Julie will make an overview of the charter. Julie, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much, Olga. So the council received on the 15th of November for consideration a draft charter of the Joint Security and Stability Analysis Working Group. This is a charter that grew out of meetings that were held in the ICANN Brussels meeting amongst members of the ALAC, the CCNSO, the GNSO, the GAC, and the NROs, where they acknowledged the need for a better understanding of the security and stability of the global names, the global domain name system. The charter, which you have a link to, so I will not reiterate everything in the charter, contains drafts of objectives, activities, and deliverables for this new working group, including a scope of activities, deliverables and timeframes, various reporting requirements, membership requirements, and some other procedural items, standard to working groups based on models both in the GNSO guidelines as well as practices among some of the other SOs and ACs. The charter is then a draft that's presented for the GNSO Council consideration. It is also being considered by the ALAC, the CCNSO, as well, and also, I think, by the NROs in as well. Each of these groups have their own processes for reviewing and approving the charter. And I welcome any questions you may have for me.
Thank you very much, Julie. Any questions, any comments to Julie? Okay, we have a motion which has been submitted by Chuck and seconded by, hold on a second, Jamie. Should I read the motion? Okay. Whereas there are meetings during the ICANN Brussels meeting in June 2010 at the At-Large Advisory Committee, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, CCNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, GNSO, the Governmental Advisory Committee, GAC, and the Number Resource Organization, NRO, acknowledged the need for a better understanding of the security and stability of the global domain name system, DNS, whereas this issue is considered to be of common interest to the participating supporting organizations, advisory committees, and others, and should be preferably undertaken in a collaborative effort. Whereas the ALAC, CCNSO, GNSO, and NRO agreed to establish a joint DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, DSSAWG, in accordance with each organization's own rules and procedures, and invite others, ACs, to liaise and engage with this DSSAW in a manner that they consider to be appropriate, whereas a drafting team of the chairs of the CCNSO, the ALAC, and the GNSO, along with interested representatives from those organizations, produced a draft charter and posted it for the review of the participating SOs and ACs on 15 November 2010 there's a link. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council approves this draft charter and encourages GNSO constituencies, stakeholder groups, and other GNSO participants to identify possible participants to the DSSA working group with demonstrated expertise in the objectives of the draft charter. This is the motion. I will open a queue for discussion, comments. Comments, discussions? Jeff.
Yeah, I just want to note that I think this is a good charter. I think it's important to note that this charter, unlike some of the other ones we talked about, specifically recognizes the roles of each of the SOs and specifically recognizes that any final report would go back to the SO for its approval if it chooses to do so. So I just want to note that for the record when we consider other cross-working groups.
Thank you, Jeff. Any other comments about the motion?
Are you back?
Go ahead. Finish this one.
Okay. I think we should take a vote.
Okay.
Rafik, is it you?
Yeah, I raised my hand in the Adobe Connect.
I'm so sorry. I didn't see you. Please go ahead.
Okay, just a question. This new working group will be open to everybody or only the different constituency and stakeholder groups will endorse the participant who can be involved in the working group?
Thank you, Rafik. Who could address the question of Rafik about the openness of the CHAC, please?
It would be open. Did you get that, Rafik? And we talked about
that.
We talked about that in the drafting team for that.
Thank you, Rafik. Apologies for not seeing your hands up. Anyone else want to comment? Okay, I think we should take a vote. Anyone is opposing to take a voice vote on this motion? Okay, so everyone in favor, please say, what should I say? Nine, eight?
Aye.
Aye. See? Say see or aye?
See.
See. See. Great.
Aye.
all those, are there any abstentions? Anyone opposing to the motion? Thank you. So the motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Olga. That helped me a lot. We're going now to agenda item 11.
Hey, Chuck, just to...
Yes.
Can we actually do an abbreviated version of number 10 since there's a charter that will expire if we don't act on it?
Oh, that's a good point, and I glossed over that. Yes, we can. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we'll go to item 10, the GNSO improvements item, and we'll need an Operations Steering Committee report from Philip Shepherd. So, Philip, we'll turn the mic over to you. And then we'll go to the PPSC, the Policy Process Steering Committee report from Jeff, and then a staff report from Rob Hogarth. Is Rob in the room? Way up there. So, Rob, you might want to make your way down a little bit closer to the mic so that when we're ready, we can move quickly to that. So, Philip, you ready? It's all yours.
I am. Thank you, Jeff, for sabotaging the agenda. just to let you know, we had a meeting this session in Cartagena. There were three main topics of discussion. First was to do with the DOI-SOI. This is the Statements of Interest section. There had been some concern, as you know, on council about that. What we took was, in fact, a draft that council themselves had produced, which was eliminating the DOI and conflating that into the SOI. And we made several amendments to that based on discussion in the room. The meeting was broadly attended by representatives of most stakeholder groups, and we had broad consensus on the changes that we made. We made some refinements also in the SOI, to clarify and make things a bit simpler, I think, from where they were. And in terms of not losing some of the issues to do with timeliness and the intent of what the DOI used to be about, which was an issue-specific declaration, we're going to be introducing a suggestion that all working groups and groups have the same practice as council, in which the chair prompts any refreshment needed in the statement of interest at the beginning of the meeting, just to make sure that happens. And we should have a draft of that available fairly shortly. That will just go through a consultation process at the steering committee level only. If that looks good and we're happy with that, we'll bump it up to yourselves to have a look at. But I think basically looks like we've done the job on that one. Second item was discussing the report that's come up from the constituency stakeholder group on global outreach program recommendations. There were several suggestions made, all supportive and friendly in terms of where things had been on the original report. That report has now gone back to the CSG, is going to take on board those points and come back to us. There was, however, a broader item of principle about that, really, which was to do with the audiences that we're addressing, because the current construct of the outreach program recommendations somewhat conflate, or they recognize the differences of audience, somewhat conflate the actions that could happen. And we thought maybe it would be useful to perhaps tease out a little bit more the sort of separation of that. It's a concept in terms of, you know, who you want to be involved in and why do you want to be involved, as opposed to simply, you know, chasing up people for specific commercial opportunities, for instance. So there's going to be different flavors in that, and we may need to look at that a bit more. A third item was referred to, we ran out of time, and this is the absentee voting abstentions proxy procedures. I've received some input from a couple of constituencies now that the procedures are causing some problems. We're very happy to take those back and look at that and refine them in a way that makes sense. These procedures should be there to serve the functioning and efficiency of council, not impede it. I will be sending a communication to council shortly, in which I will be prompting your responses and any learnings you've had in using the current procedures so that we can take those back in terms of precise problems that you found and find a better way of achieving the same objective. That's it.
Thank you very much, Philip. Stay there just a moment. Any questions of Philip? Okay. Thank you. All right, let's go to Jeff.
Thanks. There's a couple slides, very short, actually. Just, briefly, background, you know, the PPSC is responsible for reviewing and recommending processes used within the GNSO for developing policy, and essentially we oversee two work teams, the working group work team and the PDP work team. The status of the working group work team, essentially, we met here in Cartagena, and we believe that the PPSC, subject to a couple wording things, we've agreed on all the issues, and we believe that very shortly after this meeting, we will vote to approve the working group work team final report and submit that to the council for consideration. So that should be on the next agenda. And with respect to the PDP work team, we are working on a draft final report to be published for public comment. We're addressing a number of outstanding issues. And, you know, if I can stress anything as I did over the weekend, is we really encourage this council here to get all of their members that belong or that are members of the PDP work team to actually show up and contribute. You know, we're moving forward. But it would be great to actually get more participation so we can get this out the door. And finally, following review of the public comments, we will then have the final report and submit that in accordance with the procedures to the PPSC. That's where we are.
Thank you. Any questions or comments regarding that report before we go to Rob? I'll make one. I want to emphasize what Jeff just requested. A lot of us have been impatient and critical of the time some of these things are taken, and this particular work group, the PDP working team, really has had very erratic participation by its members. So please take to heart what he said, and let's help get that thing done by making sure we have good participation from all of the stakeholder groups and constituencies. Okay, let's go to Rob. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. You've asked me to report on three items with respect to GNSO improvements: progress on the constituency and stakeholder group charters, progress on the GNSO website, and then information about the GNSO toolkit of services for administrative support for constituencies and stakeholders. And I'll briefly touch on each of those. By way of contrast, in the stakeholder group charter arena, you know that last July, the two contracted stakeholder groups received permanent charters. And under that process, the board said after a year it would review them. With respect to non-contracted party stakeholder groups, both those groups were given transitional charters. In terms of constituencies, they will all ultimately be subject to some form of reconfirmation, and the other impacting element of their work is that the council in early August approved a new set of GNSO operating procedures that impacted how they conducted their business. So in that context, the CSG has actually ratified a permanent charter document. It's been submitted to the board for consideration and has been posted for public comment. That comment form is going to be going through late January. So that's an active issue there. The NCSG has been in discussions with the Structural Improvements Committee of the board, and they are continuing to proceed with those discussions and I think are meeting this week with members of the board about that proposal. The registry stakeholder group has pursued revisions to its charter documents and has shared some of those efforts with the staff. I understand that it hasn't been formally voted on yet, but there's been some very good progress there. We've also been approached by the registrar's stakeholder group regarding their efforts on charter revisions. And on the constituency front, the IPC has completed revisions to their charter document and submitted those to staff. The BC, we just participated earlier today with them on a meeting to work on their charter amendments, and we look forward to hearing from the other groups in terms of their efforts. With respect to the GNSO website, the council got a report during your working session this weekend from ICANN staffer Scott Pinzon, as well as Chris Chaplow from Andalusia Web Services and the BC. In short, I think they got a very good response from members of the council with respect to some of the plans. Looks very good, and if members of the community are interested in seeing some screenshots of that new website, the pictures and the presentations that Scott and Chris offered are attached to the end of the GNSO work sessions webpage, so you can find those there. In view of the good response from the GNSO council over the weekend, staff is going to pursue a goal of getting all the content loaded and provided by March of next year by the San Francisco meeting. A rather ambitious goal, but we're going to make an effort to do that. Finally, with respect to the toolkit, I offered the council an overview over the weekend. I was invited by the NCSG to make a presentation to them, and we're hopeful to have the checklist for all the various stakeholder groups and constituencies to provide their insights to Glenn with respect to FY11 and FY12 very shortly. I hope over the next several days we can complete that check sheet. Finally, at Bill Drake's request, I made an examination and asked our IT team about the success of the audiocast efforts on behalf of the GNSO Council. And I promised to report what I could about participation as well as cost. On average, it's our understanding that 2 to 7 remote participants are actually making use of the audiocast. The IT team reports to me that at present, their staffing resources that are necessary to make that effort work are really minimal. Most of their effort went into developing the capability itself, and that the charges for running one of those audiocasts are really nominal on a meeting-by-meeting basis. And that's my report, unless you have any questions.
We'll stay there a second. Let's find out. Thank you very much, Rob. Any questions, comments on Rob's report? Looks like there's some pretty good progress happening there.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. the next thing under this agenda topic is the are two motions. They're competing motions, actually, and we're going to take them in the order they were submitted. that's right. I was confusing that with the existing constituencies. I'm doing this a lot today. Let's go now to new constituency presentations. And the first one we have is the Cyber Cafe Ecosystem Constituency. And then we'll follow that with the not-for-profit organizations constituency. Are the presenters ready on those two items? Please go to the podium. Thank you. And are we going to have a presentation from the... Okay, just if you would be close up there, that would be appreciated. Just if you can go down there and sit near the podium, that would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's historical, and there is no exaggeration about this, because an important stakeholder whom we have engaged during the inception of Internet, rather it has played a key role for enhancing the Internet usage, has got a representation today. It has taken years, many years, but I must appreciate the council who is open to listen to this most important stakeholder. Cyber cafes or telecenters or public internet access providers, their personal ambitions and their way to take internet to next billion, which is actually emerging through them in emerging economies. Let me take this opportunity on the behalf of entire Cyber Cafe community, which is very large in number, for giving me the chance to elaborate further on our request to recognize Cyber Cafe ecosystem, public internet access as a new constituency called PIA, Cyber Cafe ecosystem in the structure of GNSO. We are delighted with the possibility that await us. Would briefly share some insights, some very important insights of the new internet users and the important role played by this community. Majority of the existing internet users today have a basic literacy and education level. However, it would be wrong to assume that the next billion internet users residing in the emerging nations too would have the same profile, since these nations have their own uniqueness. These users have their own cultural backgrounds. Despite the strength, internet penetration, especially in the emerging countries, are not a success. Many impediments have been referred and talked about. In our own opinion, in the opinion of this community experience, it is all about lack of digital literacy and general mindset of the people who don't belong to DIY, that we have to do it ourselves. If they are rich, they want an assistance. If they are poor, they want an assistance. This community facilitates this assistance, which, as a result, the next billion internet users are becoming very importantly depending upon this constituency. They not only play the role of customized facilities for the internet users, but also provide much needed assistance service for the non-English speaking and a non-computer literate population. They operate as a single point contact for access. They facilitate information. They facilitate dissemination. They facilitate education. They provide support services for the local residents who may not be literate. In simple words, to reach out to the next billion users in internet, they have an enhanced role to play. And they are present in significant number in most of the emerging countries. I belong to India. There are 180,000 cyber cafes who are like mini ISPs. The uniqueness of Cyber Cafe lies in the fact they are a complete ecosystem of internet service provider. They are access, they are content, They are commerce, and they are the users. It's a place where virtual and physical coexist. It's a perfect place to fill up any gaps arising of technology being virtual. Unlike the commercial ISP, cyber cafe, telecenters, while dealing with the issues of access, especially in remote and rural communities, are accountable for the content and service provided to the users. As a result, they are the most important means to reach out to the next billion users of internet from the widely spaced communities of the emerging world residing in Africa, China, and India. Secondly, most cyber cafes operate around a specific and limited local geographical area and are therefore familiar with the understanding that local patterns and operate in a bottom-up approach, unlike ISPs. We, CCOI as an association, it's at www.ccaoi.in, have followed an approach of an NGO. Right from our membership to the service we provide, like free guidance to improve services from telecenters, cafes, free legal support, free surveillance system, alternate mobile payment to overcome payment issues, all are being done free of charge. Today, in India alone, there are 100 million internet users, and 60% of them come from cyber cafes or telecenters.
Let me apologize for interrupting, but we are so far behind schedule that if you can bring your presentation to a close fairly quickly, it would be much appreciated.
I will do that, sir. This association, along with VeriSign itself, in last 2 months, rather 3 months, has brought 6,000 domain name resellers and have been playing similar such kind of roles all across the world. This community needs a recognition, needs a representation in ICANN because it has got its own set of challenges, own different kind of an ecosystem, and if new ICANN is planning to think about reaching to the next billion, this particular community has to have a relationship, has to have a representation, and a different approach. I am available for any kind of a query so that I really can address them, then instead of making a presentation, because the details are there on the website.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Another pending new constituency.
Good evening. Good evening now. My name is Amber Sterling, and I am a proponent, along with Deborah Hughes, of the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency, MPOC. We have been working very well with NCSG in person, face-to-face, finally, this week, and hence the slight name change from the not-for-profit organizations constituency to the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency. And if you bear with me, I have two sentences to read from our mission statement. The MPOC shall focus on the impact of DNS policies and their effects on the operational readiness and implementation of non-commercial missions and objectives. MPOC members rely on the internet and DNS policies to provide valuable services to their communities. And we are continuously reaching out to organizations around the globe and see that as something that we will never be complete with. New members will always be more than welcome. And we hope our charter is approved as soon as possible, because it's always easier to sell a product that exists. So thank you so much for your time.
And thank you for being brief. I much appreciate that. And sorry to squeeze you on time.
No. So.
All right. Any comments or discussion on those presentations? Jeff?
Yeah, just a quick question. So what happens now? I mean, maybe Rob is the person to answer it, but when is this need to be considered by the board? If so, when? How does this happen?
The process is that both of these groups of proponents have submitted formal petitions for recognition by the board, and it's in the board's hands. Quite frankly, the process is theirs at this moment.
Is it on the agenda for this week?
No, it is not.
Okay.
If I could just add on behalf of the non-commercial stakeholders group, we actually have a process within our interim charter where we consider constituency applications for our stakeholder group in an environment where there's board oversight. So I just wanted to let people know that that process is actually going along quite speedily, and there's a meeting with the Structural Improvements Committee. So whilst it's not formally on the board's agenda at this meeting, from our point of view, we're making good progress.
And Rosemary, how does that relate to these constituency applications?
The one that we're considering is the not-for-profit operational concerns constituency.
And how I'm still not understanding how that relates to their application to be a constituency.
Within non-commercial stakeholders group charter, we have a process within our charter for considering constituencies, which is in parallel with the board process, and they come together in our charter with a an approach whereby our decision is seeks board oversight.
Okay. Thank you. Jeff?
So on that, if the NCUC doesn't approve...
NCSG.
Sorry. I'm thinking about the process that runs in parallel. Does it have to be approval by the NCSG of this new constituency? Is that what was said? And if that doesn't happen, then what?
Rosemary, can you answer that question?
There's quite a process outlined in our charter which talks about what happens if the first decision by the exec committee is not to approve. There's the appeals process and so on. So there's quite a process, a number of steps in our interim charter.
So what happens if the board approves the charter and the NCSG doesn't? Ari, can you answer that?
This is Aubrey again, this time speaking as chair of the NCSG Executive Committee. The whole thing is under discussion at the moment with the SIC. There is basically a proposal that includes the stakeholder group approves, disapproves, informs the board. The board in its oversight role accepts, doesn't accept, sends it back, et cetera. So there's a very and this is all in discussion and in definition at the moment. So, and what we are really hoping, and by the way, there's two constituencies in formation, not one. There's also the consumer affairs constituency, which is a combination of the one that already applied and one from within. So at one point we had two of them. They're combining. And we're trying to get them all through the board and the SIC altogether. So there's a lot of discussion and process going on, but it is very much a bottom-up stakeholder group decision with oversight and correction by the board.
Okay. Thank you very much. Rob, one more thing.
I just wanted to clarify one of my remarks. I suggested that both of the presenters today had been official. The CCAOI is still in the notice of intent phase. So they still have to submit a formal petition and charter. But the NPOC has already satisfied that requirement, as well as, I believe, the consumers group that Avery referred to, who made a presentation to this council back at Mexico City, I believe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Alan?
Just a very quick question. Maybe I missed it, but which stakeholder group is the first one, the Cyber Cafe one, applying for?
Their notice of intent to form reflected, I believe, the CSG, the Commercial Stakeholders Group. Oh, NCSG. Okay. Thank you.
NCSG. Thank you. Okay, Jamie?
As I understand, it would be CSG. No? Because I, in Brazil, the cyber cafes are known as land houses, And despite the fact that there are mainly very small businesses or sometimes individual businesses, they are businesses. So I don't know if this where would it fit the if it is in NCSG or CSG.
I'm going to suggest that we you get that answer offline.
Okay.
Okay. So after the meeting, if you could. All right, one line.
They are a businessman with a cause, and not for only for themselves, but for ICANN, for the internet community. We have to think from that perspective than just thinking from that they make small money. That's my request.
Okay, and you may want to pursue that discussion. I suggest you pursue that discussion later, Jamie. Let's go to the motion. And it's a motion that I made, and I don't believe I accepted Mary's amendment as friendly. I did it privately, but I don't think I did it on the council list. But I do accept your amendment, Mary, as a friendly amendment. And Jeff, you seconded
yes,
my motion.
Yes, then I'll accept the second.
Okay. So unless somebody objects, I'm going to skip the whereases. And I'm going to, Mary, would you, because it, make sure I don't mess up your amendments, would you do the read the resolved portions with your amended portion as it should be read, please?
And I shall do so in a very friendly manner. Resolved, the council acknowledges and thanks the OSC, the PPSC, and the five community work teams for their hard work, and directs each steering committee and applicable work team chair to identify for the council any remaining targets and benchmarks for their respective work by no later than 19th January 2011, including expected deadlines for final delivery. Resolved further, a drafting team shall be established no later than 19th January 2011 to draft a charter for a standing committee to track and coordinate implementation of those OSC, PPSC, and work team recommendations already approved by the council and adopted as recommended by the communications and coordination work team in its final report of 9th April 2010.
Thank you. Any discussion? Tim.
Yeah, just confirming to make sure my understanding, and again, I'm a little slow. But so the standing committee, once formed, eventually it will exist. The idea is that the steering committees will no longer exist. So the standing committee is sort of the new structure in that regard.
That's, well, I don't think that's exactly right.
There may be some overlap, but I'm just...
There will be, in the sense that the standing committee could start before all of the... before the PPSC and OSC work is finished, but the standing committee at that point would only work on those GNSO improvement recommendations that have already been adopted. They wouldn't be working on the ongoing work of the PPSC and the OSC. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a very good question. It was important that that's understood. Mary?
I'm sorry to throw a spanner in the works, but I think you might have been better off if you had done the reading of the motion, because I think the way that it's been printed out was probably a little different. I think the amendment that I had proposed, the intention, was that it would replace the second sentence of your original motion, Chuck.
Right, so we should have included part of that.
So if I may read the resolved again?
Yes, you may. Thank you.
Resolved, the council extends the terms of the Operations Steering Committee and the Policy Process Steering Committee and their respective work teams as necessary through the San Francisco ICANN public meeting in March 2011. The council acknowledges and thanks the OSC, the PPSC, and the five community work teams for their hard work, and directs each steering committee and applicable work team chair to identify for the Council any remaining targets and benchmarks for their respective work by no later than the 19th of January 2011, including expected deadlines for final delivery. Do I need to read resolve clause?
I don't think so. Let's just move to discussion. Jeff.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that that first part was still in there. I think just being realistic, the PPSC will not wrap up. There's zero chance that the PPSC will wrap up by March 2011. And so, I mean, I think that should that part should really be stricken or make a friendly amendment to put whatever date the San Francisco June meeting is in, because the schedule that we're on that we discussed about producing a draft final report, taking in public comment, and then producing a final report, since there aren't that many weeks left before the San Francisco meeting, just to be realistic, it's not going to make that March date.
So Jeff, you're suggesting that the March 2011 part be stricken or changed to the June 2011, not that whole sentence, because we do need to extend the charters.
Correct.
Yes, okay. Mary.
I was actually going to suggest, instead of making it more complicated, that we stick with the motion the way it is, because part of the motion requires the identification of deliverables and deadlines. So it's what I would suggest then is for the, is it the PPSC or the PDP? You're talking about the PDP work team. And possibly, therefore, the PPSC to then, at the January meeting, request specific extension for their charters. It might make it simpler.
I mean, how is that simpler when I'm telling you that we're not going to make that deadline? I mean, consider this the formal request. You know, we're supposed to manage the process but be realistic here. And given what's on our plates, it's just not going to happen. So the simplest thing is to just extend it to June.
By it, you mean the PPSC charter or both charters?
Let's make it both. The simplest thing is to strike the word March, replace it with the word June.
I don't think I'm in any position to accept or not, because it's not my motion, but I can say that that would be a problem for the NCSG.
Let me ask why. Given the fact that there's no way that this report will be produced, given the fact that the work team is working, given the fact of what we outlined in the report I just gave, why would the NCSG not agree to the extension of that?
I think because I understood, and my fellow counselors can jump in if I'm misspeaking on behalf of the entire group, because I think the request that you are making is a blanket extension of every work team and every steering committee that may not be working on the same timeline as you. And given that the original intent way back in whenever it was, 2009, when these groups were first set up, the original intent was 1 year, and there's since been two extensions, we would like very much to have some further actual deadlines that we can work on as council to decide which group would or should be extended and which should just wrap up.
Okay, Tim?
I'll defer.
Okay, Wendy?
I just wanted to... When we started these, we gave them specific time frames, and part of the reason for doing that is to wrap things up and enable new people to get involved without having to go back through the entire history of an existing work group or work team. And so at the same time, we're hearing complaints on the one hand that there isn't enough participation in some of these groups. Won't we please encourage people to get involved? And on the other hand, we have sort of policies and procedures that make it very difficult for people to engage anew in processes that have been going on for years. And so I would prefer it if we were able to set time frames, and if work isn't completed, charter new groups to continue.
Thank you, Wendy. Philip?
Thanks. I'm a bit confused by some parts of this motion. Firstly, you guys get from me or staff every month a report with timelines as to the outstanding items on the OSC. It looks like this. The big green lumps are all the stuff that's been done already. The little strips of white that are left are the ones that are still to go. So, you know, you've got half a motion, which is basically you're not reading, you're doing your homework at the moment. These groups will exist as long as you want them to if there's a job to be done. If there's no job to be done, we can scrap them tomorrow. If there is a job to be done, like the question you guys have asked me about fixing absentee voting, which is too complex for you, then we've got a bunch of guys in the OSC and in the teams below who have told me this week they're all happy to continue looking at that and trying to make our processes better, leaving you guys the time to get on with doing the policy work for us, which as a constituent, want you to be doing and not wasting your time on this, because you've got volunteers who are saying, we are happy to do the grindingly boring stuff that's all the stuff to do with your procedures. So, you know, we're giving you the deadlines you want according to the work that you're asking us to do, and it will take as long as it takes. Some things have been done and they're finished. Some things may take a bit longer, so it's a strange motion. Clearly, we need to extend them if their time is going to finish, but please decide what you want. We are there to serve.
Thank you, Philip. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree with Philip, and you know, I understand the point that when this was initially chartered, you expected things to be done, but when you initially voted to approve this, you were assuming that people, that you guys would actually encourage your own stakeholder groups and constituencies to participate. Now that we've got, you know, yes, I keep encouraging participation. We do have a good core group that's writing and will continue to work, and we are volunteers. And I think that, you know, if other people don't come, they don't come, but we'll still produce a work product. To just shut it off without any kind of background or context, and certainly, you know, speaking on behalf of the PDP work team, you know, we have great participation from Alex Kakuru. I think I might pronounce that wrong, but he's been there every single week, and he participates greatly, and I'm wondering if you had feedback from him. Is this from him that you're talking about shutting down the team? My fear is that there's some politics going on here that I just don't understand as to why you want to shut down the team when it's working hard, and there are volunteers that are doing the work, and you're just basically telling them, we don't care how hard you're working. We don't care that you're driving to conclusion. We at the top want things to be done. We totally understand you want things to be done. We want this to be done. But I'm telling you right now that the deliverables that we have, which I will give you the complete list on the 19th, which is in the motion, we will not have work done by San Francisco. If you want to pass a motion that we know today, at the time we're passing the motion, will not be met, I suppose we can do it, and we kind of have to extend the charter, but it just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Alan.
Maybe I heard incorrectly, and I hope I did, but I thought I heard words that said something like, and if the groups working on it cannot meet the deadlines that we want, then we'll disband it and start a new group to do the work. Given that we are almost finished on the PDP group, that we have a plan how to get to the end, the concept of disbanding it, throwing the work away potentially, and chartering a new group sounds like about the best way I can imagine to never get anyone to volunteer again.
Thank you, Alan. Tim?
Yeah, this is difficult. I think that, Jeff makes some very good arguments, but I think others have too, and so it's really hard. I think, though, that from, you know, the counselors that I've talked to, I think there's just concern that we can't set up a situation where we have, you know, a never-ending story kind of situation. And so the goal has just been to, instead of just continually renewing a charter annually for a year at a time, let's start shortening it up now to something less than a year, and let's see progress in order to have a reason to continue extending the charter. So that's kind of what I'm hearing. Opinion on a date and things, I know that's difficult, but I don't think anybody's looking for a way to sneak in an unexpected ending to work that's progressing and making progress, and I know we wouldn't support that come January if there's definite progress and a reason to extend.
Thank you, Tim. Mary.
Just to respond to Jeff, nobody's talking about shutting anybody down. In fact, this motion speaks to extending the charters of all the groups. And in response to Philip, it may be that it's worded poorly, because I think the idea was, as Tim says, that we don't want this never-ending story and loop. So, and I have not had a chance to think about it, but it may be more acceptable if we've extended the charters to June, bearing in mind that the rest of this motion talks about a standing committee that would start monitoring and tracking what's already been implemented.
Thank you, Mary. Christina.
I really agree with Alan and the comments that both Philip and Jeff have made. To me, it's just not reasonable to vote for a motion that has deadlines that we know. It's irresponsible, actually. I mean, it's not a word I use very often, but I think it is in these circumstances, to vote for a motion that has deadlines that we know cannot possibly be met. So I would suggest that if, you know, either you or Jeff want to tell me what would need to be done to do a friendly amendment to change March 2011 to June 2011, I'd be happy to do that. Although, you know, perhaps we should just put a placeholder down that, picking up on Tim's point, that, you know, making clear to the leads of those groups that further extensions beyond June 2011 are going to be difficult to obtain, and that should be kept in mind. Understanding, of course, that, you know, there are participation issues, and I know that the IPC is guilty of that. So.
I will accept the amendment to change March 2011 to June 2011 as a friendly amendment. What's that?
Yeah, and we should also remove
yes, San right. Good catch, Marika. I appreciate that. Through the I guess it's going to be in June, the June ICANN public meeting in the ICANN public meeting in June 2011. Jeff, I don't suppose you would accept that as friendly, would you? I have to ask.
No, that is friendly.
I just needed you to say it.
Oh, yes, it's a friendly amendment. I second that friendly amendment.
Thanks. Okay. Any further discussion? Does anybody object to a voice vote on this? All in favor, say aye.
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 If you're opposed, please identify yourself. If you abstain, please identify yourself. Okay. Looks like it passed unanimously. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to have to move quickly, and we're going to go next to item 11, I believe. Let me get my correct paper in front of me here. These next few will go fairly quickly, but they're very important items. I want to recognize and thank the outgoing counselors that will leave the council effective the end of the annual meeting. From the non-contracted parties house, from the commercial stakeholder group, Mike Rodenbaugh. Thank you very much, Mike, for your service for two terms. So 4 years. And I know you enjoyed every minute of it, especially those really early meetings that you didn't come to. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate your service. And from the contracted parties house, on the phone with us, I hope you're still there, Terry. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate you bearing with us. From the registry stakeholder group, it wasn't designed this way, but it's a total turnover of the registry reps. Watch that, Adrian. You've been very well behaved. Stefan? I won't ask you to do that. Okay. All right. So, Edmund? Edmund served two terms. Caroline, who's not with us because she's looking for lodging in Brussels, right? And is no longer going to, in a few days, it's not going to be with .mobi any longer, so she resigned. And then I also am termed out after 2 years, so let's give Caroline, and you can applaud me too if you want. Thank you. What is this? Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. And now I also want to recognize and thank staff for the just incredible support we've had. Having been chair, as many long hours as I spent, I would have been dead if I wouldn't have had to go to the hospital this week without all the support that staff gave. And I know that Stefan and Olga saw that support. I know the whole council did. And I would appreciate it if I'd like the staff members that are in the room to please stand and remain standing before we applaud. On the administrative support side, Glenda Saint-Jury and Gisela Gruber-White, stay standing, please. Hold the applause. We'll do it all at once for time's sake. I'd like to applaud each one individually, too. Is Gisela here? No? Okay. From the direct GNSO Poly support, David Olive, Liz Gaster, Rob Hogarth, Marika Konings, Carla Valente, Julie Hedlin, Margie Milam, Denise Michelle, Denise supported us earlier in the year, Steve Shang, and Ken Bauer. I don't think he's here with us, is he? Are you on there, Ken, remotely? Anyway, let's give a big hand to the staff.
Chuck, I just thought that was disappointing that Jeff didn't stand up for that applause.
He was standing. See, I can say that. I can say that because I'm in the same boat.
Well, look, okay. I couldn't see the instructions because the light was shining off your head so bright.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we still have a sense of humor after a very long meeting. We also want to welcome the new counselors from the commercial stakeholder group, John Berard. John? The new nominating committee appointee, Carlos Aguirre. Is Carlos still here? He left. Where's he at? Is he here? I talked to him earlier, but he must have had to leave. So.
He fell asleep.
Hey, at least all of you stayed awake. That's good. From the registry stakeholder group, Ching Chow is, I don't think he's here, is he, Edmund?
Yeah.
No, Ching Chow from .Asia. Ching's online, good. Okay, welcome, Ching. And all of us know Jeff really well, Jeff Newman. And we didn't. Hey, you got some people standing, Jeff. the TBD is known now. Jonathan Robertson, we forgot to change the TBD. Is Jonathan here? He had to leave, didn't he? I think he did have to leave. But let's welcome all of the new counselors. Now, what I'm going to do, because, you know, not everybody may agree with this, but we do try to have an open mic, and I'd at least allow 10 minutes for open mic at the end of this meeting. And then if anybody wants to go a little bit further to cover the missed items, we can do that, and I'll leave that up to the council. Yes, Mary?
Just very quickly, while everyone's getting ready, would those councilors, past, present, future, and all the staff that I didn't manage to get to today, please sign Chuck's hat. There's enough room, at least on the inside.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that. Okay. Yes, Mr. Foodie.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Given the extent to which the board is now passing the buck back to you guys as regards new GTLDs, and given the extent to which the vertical integration decision has materially altered what you guys presumably envisioned back in 2007, do you not believe, particularly given the extent to which many of you have, you know, conflicts of interest to a certain degree, that the appropriate action for you now is to reconsider the whole thing? And from the point of view of a registrant, write to every single registrant and let them know what is proposed. Because as it stands, you know, it to me, it looks terrible.
Thank you. Liz.
Thank you. Liz Gaster from the policy staff coordinating the remote participation. So I do have one question and one comment. I believe the question actually dates back in time to the JIG update, Edmund, that you gave. This is a question, and see if people are moving the chat, so apologize. I got to scroll back up to this is a question from David Cohen. And he asks, with more delays looming for GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs getting a first mover's advantage on languages, will ICANN be introducing a fast-track process for non-controversial IDN GTLDs? And then there is a comment from Ken Stubbs of the registry constituency. And again, if you just allow me to scroll down. He says he believes it is impractical to push any motions for action forward only one meeting. We have the holidays and New Year's coming up, and many constituencies will not, due to these holidays, have any opportunity for adequate deliberation to consider these issues. Also, he believes many ICANN offices are generally open during part of this time. Would it be not more practical to move these items ahead to meetings? And I believe he's specifically referring to the RAA and the joint applicant support activity.
Now, what I'm going to do, you have more, Liz?
I'm just checking now in case.
Okay, while you're checking, I'm going to say something. What I'm going to do, again, for time efficiency, is we'll hear the various comments and questions, and then if any counselors want to respond to any of the questions asked or comments made, we'll do that after that, if that's okay. Okay. Liz, any more?
And just one more comment from Barry Cobb of the business constituency. No worries on postponing the registration abuse topic, but he hopes the council will give adequate time to review it at the next GNSO council meeting. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Liz.
Hi, I'm Scott Seitz with .gay. And I'm here with Constantine. This is just more of a, just giving you guys advance comments on our notice on what we're going to be doing tomorrow. We just wanted to go on record again as .gay in support of comments and concerns expressed by Constantine with the .music initiative during the GTLD sessions addressing Kurt Prince yesterday. We are concerned at the community process in Ag 5 as it has been made more difficult for a genuine community that has been building a community support for an application to keep the points gained in the application process, because it's made it easier for outside commercial interests to block community points through the objection process, thus driving the applicant into an auction process at the detriment of the community and contradicting the meaning and the spirit of the GNSO's original implementation guideline H. Instead of supporting new community GLTDs, it's placing barriers to the formation of new community GLTDs and creating, and which are created to advance global public interest, and becomes inconsistent with the affirmation of commitments as well. Thank you.
Thank you, and I, you know, there's an open comment period, so that ends this Friday. So
yes,
that's the most important place to put.
And
that
that's
comment.
Where this is going to go as
Good.
Well. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to reiterate the same thing.
Okay, give your name.
It's okay. Constantine Roussos from the .music Initiative. My concerns are that even within a music industry coalition leading, let's say, adult music, there are fears that there is a chance that it could be gamed and it could fall into an auction. So we would like it to be a real community and genuine and not be penalized for trying to actually do a community. So we'll add our comments, and we hope that everyone reads them and takes them into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Marilyn, are Jeff, you trying to get the last word?
As usual. My name is Marilyn Cade, and I'll start by saying welcome back.
Thank you.
My comment is going to follow on, and I am speaking as an individual. My comment is going to follow on, I guess, a couple of the points that were just reflected. And it is, I understand that this particular question is no longer in the council's hands, but I am going to raise it to the council's attention. I am very concerned about what I see as a choice exercised in the JAG to almost drive the selection of applicants toward an auction process. I think that does raise concerns, and I appreciate the points that were just made. My own constituency, the business constituency, has indicated a very strong preference for community supporting GTLDs rather than other forms, and have stated their reason for that, which I support. The point I want to make and call to your attention is, of course, as you all know, ICANN is a not-for-profit corporation, and I have real concerns that the arrival of very significant amounts of money through the use of an auction process for the allocation of registries may result in so much money that it threatens ICANN's not-for-profit status. So again, this is more a statement than it is a comment to you, because I understand that that particular decision is not in your hands. But it is an area of concern that I see.
Thank you, Marilyn. All right, Adrian. No? Okay. Christina.
Just, I guess, for the purpose of closing the loop, in response to the question posed by the person in the chat about whether ICANN is going to create a fast-track process for non-IDN GTLDs, I think that was the question. I think our answer as GNSO Council is we're not going to do it. So I don't, you know, I don't know.
Thank you. Edmund?
Well, I guess just to that point, response to David Cohen's comment, actually, the council, or at least myself and a number of people, did try to go down that path and see if there might be any consensus to do additional work on it. So I would like to say that there was a effort to explore that. At that time, we didn't. There was a strong feeling that we would not come to any consensus about moving forward as it as a work for the council or for the GNSO in general, and therefore that was not further did not further proceed. But I guess I'll leave it at that, because I'm also leaving the council as well. But overall, if there's interest continue to come up in the GNSO, that could be brought up, I guess.
Thank you, Edmund. Someone else on the council want to respond to anything that was stated? I'll do a brief response to Mr. Foody. I didn't understand, and we can talk about this offline, but I didn't understand how you felt like the board had put the new GTLD process back in our lap. It seems to be just the opposite right now. Most of the stuff is out of our hands, with the exception of a few comments on issues. But maybe you can explain to me offline what you meant by that. We're not going to have time for dialogue, but I will be glad to dialogue with you individually. There will be, of course, a 4-month communication period. And in fact, that communication period is going to be a lot longer than 4 months, because ICANN's been communicating about this process for a long time. But there will be a specific 4-month communication period broadly around the world And so the council specifically recommended that, and it is being implemented. And they've got a, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. I think it's at least $300,000 that they have of money that they haven't already spent on that communication period outreach. So that's just a response there. If you want to talk individually about that, hopefully we can find a time to do that. Anyone else? Yes, John.
I'd like to thank everyone who stayed as long as I did at my first meeting. Thank you very much.
Yes. Now, we skipped over two agenda items. The recommendations regarding the registration abuse policies the drafting team that gave us a guideline of how we might proceed with those recommendations. There was a workshop on that over the weekend, and unfortunately I wasn't able to attend that, so I'll have to be brought up to speed on that. And that's going to have to be deferred, but I do want to thank Mikey O'Connor, who's right back here. And is Greg Aaron here? Greg didn't have the fortitude to stick with us, huh? Okay, but thanks both of you for leading that working group, and and so we very much appreciate that, and all the people that have contributed in that effort. There's a whole bunch of recommendations that the council is going to have to act on. I can assure you, and I'm not going to be the chair, but I can assure you the council is going to have to prioritize those and decide how to handle those because of the workload. The other item that we skipped over was who is, and that was mainly, neither one of those skipped items were action items because there's a little more work to do on both of those, but it would have been good information to share. Now, if anybody wants to go longer to cover a little bit further on either one of those, I'm willing to entertain that. But I won't. You want to go longer, Adrian?
No, Chuck. You'll be surprised. I've got other commitments.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want us to tell? You want to tell us about them?
It's with a lady. No. I've got commercial. I have to go and pay some bills. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Nobody's jumping up saying let's go longer. Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, thanks everybody for sticking with us today. Hopefully you'll appreciate how the council works, and that it's a give and take process that we're working together. And there's lots of disagreement, but there's also lots of constructive work. And hopefully you have seen that today. And so I thank the council. It's been great leading you, and it's been fun working with you. But I do look forward to a little bit more sane work life. So, yeah, meeting is adjourned.
Wait.
Just quickly. Just to say that this is Chuck's last meeting on the council in his chair, last open council meeting. So we just want to say thanks very much, Chuck, and well done for all the years of service. We really appreciated working with you. I'm sure we'll see lots more of you. I certainly hope so. But it's just been a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. I hope to see all of you at the gala tonight.
Well, I'll go to the gala.